Well, with that, good morning. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22 if you have your Bibles. We are continuing our study in the gospel according to Luke. We left off on verse 35. We're going to do a little reading, go back, do a little recap, and see what God has for us this morning. Amen. And if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles on back, there's Bibles on front. I mean, in the day we live in, there's Bibles all over the place. And the phone, right? It's good. We're going to back up a little. We're going to back up to verse 31 because we want to catch that flow and where we're at. It's actually verse 36 that we are going to pick up on. But verse 31 says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat." That just sends chills, doesn't it? But notice, this is comfort. "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Not that you would be spared from this, but that your faith should not fail in it. And when you have returned to me," not if, "when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Saying, I'm going to use this to strengthen your faith in you, in turn will strengthen others. Verse 33, "But he said to him, Lord, I am ready." How many times have you said that? "I am ready, Lord, send me. I am ready." That's Peter being Peter, right? I'm rocky. I'm that stone. "I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death," he said. Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times. You will deny three times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Then he said to them, "But now, he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." So they said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. Thank you that you live. You live, Lord, to forever and ever, Lord, and just make intercession for your people. That you're constantly making intercession for us. Not only did you pray for Peter, but you pray for us. Sometimes it's hard for us to reconcile all these different things. Your son, You're the Son of God, yet you're God the Son, and yet, Lord, you sit on your throne, and yet you make intercession for us. All these different aspects sometimes, Lord, we have a hard time reconciling, but Lord, you are everything. You're just everything in our lives. I just pray, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon this place, upon the heart of your people. Is there people that are here that come with hard hearts? Maybe some bitterness, angry. Maybe they've been betrayed as you were, in a sense. I pray, Lord, that all those things would just melt away as you speak to them and as you speak to us by the power of your Spirit. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. By way of reminder, we left off with Satan, as we read, asking for permission to sift Peter like wheat. And what a picture that is, right? You remember how wheat was sifted? You know, it was crushed, and then they normally had the sifting areas in a place where it was a little higher up where the wind would come, and you would throw up the wheat, and the chaff would go away, the meat would come down. So what Satan is saying is, Peter, you're just chaff. You are nothing. You're going to be crushed. I'm going to destroy you. But Jesus says, I prayed for you. I know, Peter. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. He knows what he's going to do. And he didn't pray. He says, Peter, don't get crushed. I don't want you to get crushed. I'm going to pray that you avoid these things, because that's what we prayed for, right? Who likes to be crushed? Who likes to go through difficult times? And so sometimes we're like, we don't want to go through that. And God says, Jesus says, look, I pray not that you would be spared from this, but that your faith would not fail you. And his flesh will be sifted, but his faith remained. And that's what we went over last week, right? But I love Peter's words. He says, I am ready, Lord. I am ready to go to prison, even to death. In other words, he said, bring it. Is that a good attitude? Is that the right heart? No. Peter was confident in his flesh and himself. And you know, there's areas sometimes that we're confident in this area. And we can't do the work of the Spirit in the flesh. And sometimes God has to remove certain things in our lives in order to use us. And as we discussed last week, after this sifting, after this process, after just being broken, but then once again restored, we see Jesus using Peter in a mighty way. The book of Acts, chapter 2, 3,000 were saved at his preaching. Later on, chapter 4, 2,000 additional souls were saved. Later on, chapter 10, in Cornelius, he was the first one to go to the Gentiles and bring the word of God to them. Took the heat for it, too. He took witnesses with them. He says, man, I don't know how all this is going to work, but you guys come with me because this hasn't been done before. And God used them mightily. He used these difficult times to just really give them a good shakeup, but he used it for good. What the enemy meant for evil, he meant for destruction, the Lord uses it for good. And we're all familiar with that verse. But it's a different thing when we're going through it, right? Not fun. And so Jesus once again tells Peter, listen, you're going to fail. In fact, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times. I wonder what Peter thought about that when Jesus said, have you ever thought about that? You know, something's coming and you're like, whatever, maybe them, because that's what Peter said. Maybe they'll fail. Maybe they will fold. Not me. Hard times will come. That's okay, man. I am grounded. I'm good. That's a dangerous place to be in that sense. No, you know what? Jesus, he is the one who sustains me. I got to stay close to my Lord. I got to be in the word and prayer. I need the direction of the Holy Spirit, because there go I, but by the grace of God. And so permission was granted, and that's where we pick up today. Take a look at verse 35 with me. What does he say? He says, and he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it. And likewise, a knapsack. Hey, listen, take your wallet, take your sleeping bag. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you, listen, I say to you, that this which is written must still be accomplished of me. I'm about to die, he says. And he was numbered with the transgressors. In other words, he would be going to the cross with violent criminals included in that. For the things concerning me have an end. So they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. In Luke 9, you may remember, Jesus sent out the 12. And they needed nothing for the journey. He sent them out. He said, take nothing. Take no money bag, no knapsack, nothing. I will provide for you. I will take care of you. Supernaturally, they were taken care of. And he empowered them to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, and just to bring the word of God to people. And he says, remember that? Those are the good times, he said. That was good stuff. You lacked nothing back then, did you? And they said, no. But he says, things will be different now. Difficult days are coming. Difficult days are coming. And he's preparing them for that. And maybe that's a word for us today. Difficult days are coming. And so he says, the things that are written about me are about to happen. I'm going to be numbered with the transgressors. In other words, I'm about to be crucified alongside criminals. And so he says, prepare yourselves practically during this period of time. He's preparing them. I'm going to the cross. I won't be with you. And so they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. In other words, enough talk of this. And at this point, look at verse 39. What is happening is they have left the temple. Some of, when you put all the gospel accounts together, seems like they have been walking. And now here, Luke tells us, coming out of this area, whether it's a temple or out of this section here, he says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. And his disciples also followed him. So Judas knew exactly where he would be. We read that earlier on in chapter 19, that's where he went. In the day, he was preaching. At night, he would go there, spend time with his father, spend time with God. And what an incredible place that would be, right? Go to the Garden of Gethsemane and just spend time with the Father, a time of refreshment. And he would go there and take his disciples. So they knew exactly where he was, where they were going, and Judas knew. And remember, Judas has been scheming. He's been planning and plotting with the high priests, with the scribes, with the religious leaders on how to get Jesus. And so he goes to this place and he said to them, notice, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. I'm just going to let us sit there for a minute. Pray. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. Think about this with me. As they made their way from the temple down the hill across the Kidron and up the Mount of Olives, there Jesus goes to this familiar place, the Garden of Gethsemane, which means oil press or crushing. And we'll talk about that a little bit more further down. But what I find it interesting is that in the garden is where man fell, the very beginning. And it is in the garden that Jesus will win the battle. Our parents, our original parents, that is, they chose their own way. But listen, Jesus chose God's way. And there are those times that we come to that place that we got to choose. Am I going to choose my way, my will, or will I choose God's will? And you're like, God's will is hard, but it's the best. But you're like, my will can be a lot easier. Satan said, you don't have to go to the cross. Listen, all these things I'll give to you. Just bow down before me. You can forego all that pain, all that frustration with your disciples. You can forego all those things. And in our lives, we come to that place that God challenges us. And he says, do you want to do the right thing? Or do you want to do your own thing? And just like the decision that Adam made in the garden 4,000 years earlier affected humanity, the decision that Jesus made 2,000 years ago affected all of humanity. That's why we're here this morning. But before his battle takes place, notice that Jesus warns his disciples to get ready for their own battle. Take a look at what he says next. He said to them, right? Pray that you may not enter into temptation. He tells them how to win. He gives them the answer. Jesus says, if you want to overcome entering temptation, church, what do? Pray. We pray. He has said earlier in his model prayer, you remember that, right? It's known as the Lord's Prayer, but really it's a disciples' prayer. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And by the way, temptations, that same word is also trials. I find that interesting as well. Because some trials, we enter into those trials. We jump into those things because we made that decision, the wrong decision, instead of following the Lord. So I find it interesting that it means both things. So he says, pray. How's your prayer time? Thank you, Lord, for this meal. Amen. Prayer is so important, so vital for the Christian. And I know that I'm a one-string guitar. But it's so vital. I love what Billy Graham said in so many of his books. And he said, I wish I would have prayed more. Out of all the things, what would you have done different? Pray more, he says. Because he says, in prayer, that's where we win the battle. And then we just go and collect the spoils. And so he says, pray. So I say, how is your prayer time? How is my prayer time? Do you pray about temptation or do you flirt with it? Do we have those pet sins that we're like, yeah, that's great. It's okay. It's a pet. Listen, sin has teeth. It will kill. It will kill. And so we're to pray. I like that Jesus says, enter. Not enter. Think about that. Because that's the operative word, right? Enter. He doesn't say you will not be tempted. There is temptation in this world. Jesus was tempted. We see that. Because there are some Christians that walk in defeat and they're like, man, if I was more spiritual, if I was doing the right thing, I wouldn't get tempted. And they feel like that's sin. The temptation is sin. Listen, understand this. Temptation is not sin. Giving into temptation, entering, crossing that door, putting yourself in it, that is sin. You are battling these things. We are in a battle, guys. I love what the scripture says, that with every temptation, that Jesus will make a way of escape for us. And all we have to do is call upon his name. Call upon his name. We're to take all those thoughts captive and bring them to the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I am struggling with this right now. Or we come in the morning before we start our day, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Protect me from these things. Jesus was tempted. Jesus, having disrobed himself of his heavenly glory, Philippians tells us, being fully man, yet being fully God, was tempted. But he never entered into temptation. He never entered that door. He never gave in to it. Listen to what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And listen what he says next. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. In chapter 4, verse 15, he says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus can both sympathize with our temptations and aid us in it. And with us. And all we have to do is call upon him. Have you called upon Jesus? He is able. Prayer is so vital in the Christian life. And I always marvel how the Lord reminds us of this. It's like every time prayer week is coming, we are in a section of prayer to remind the church, the body, that it is vital, that that's where the war is won. We know through the other gospel accounts that during this time, Jesus told Peter and the others repeatedly to pray. But you remember what they did? They were snoozing, right? They were catching some Z's. Jesus says, pray. Because prayer can be laborious. It can be hard. But sometimes it's so refreshing. We start praying. Sometimes it's hard to get here, and it's like, or at home. We don't want to pray. There are times in our lives we don't want to pray for ourselves. We don't want to pray for others. That tells you exactly where you're at in life at that point. You don't want to go before your Father. It means something's going on when He invites us to come before Him to His throne of grace. So He told them repeatedly to pray, yet they slept. Jesus, however, went a short distance away and prayed. And as we're all going to see in a moment, He was battling, He was agonizing in prayer. You know, and the Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. Take a look at verse 41, what it says. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw away. And He knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from me. He's speaking of the cross, a horrific death. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. Jesus prayed, and in this prayer, He chose the will of God over His will. He was submitted to God in the hardest situation imaginable. Are you submitted to God's will today? Are we submitted to God's will? Jesus desires God's will above all else, above His comfort, above His safety, above everything. And that is what He calls us to. We're not there all the time. But listen, that is my heart's desire. That should be every Christian's heart desire, is that, Lord, Your will be done, not mine. Because His will is so much better. Our life is so much better when we walk in His will. We can walk through storms. We can walk through whatever it is. I love that story once again. These people putting up, boarding up their homes, and they put psalms in there on the boards and scripture, and why they walk through difficulties, trusting in God. How amazing is that? In difficult times. Notice He says, Father, it is Your will. If it is Your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. Jesus in His humanity cried out to His Father, I don't want to go through the suffering, Dad, but I want Your will above my own. He was in agony. He knew what was to come. He was obedient to the Father's will to the point of the cross. In verse 43, then an angel appeared to Him from heaven, strengthening Him. And being in agony, He stopped praying. He stopped fighting. Is that what it says? And being in agony, He prayed more earnestly. Because some of us give up, right? We're like, I said, no, you know what? I got a show to watch. We can give up. Or we reach for a pill when things get hard. Or we reach for a drink. Or we reach for whatever it is that that person would think would ease their discomfort at that time. No, He prayed. He prayed more earnestly. But notice what He says next. Notice what it says. It says, then His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. On previous occasions, the Garden of Gethsemane was a refuge, a place where Jesus was refreshed and had fellowship with the Father. But not this night, guys. This night was different. Gethsemane means oil press or crushing. And as you know, the olives would be taken there and they would be crushed and pressed and they produced oil. This is where He was at. Do you guys catch the imagery? He was in a place of crushing. They bring all these olives and it'd be crushed. And what would come out? This oil. And oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit, right? But notice what happens here. Look at the imagery. He is in this place. Our Lord is being crushed. He is in agony, but he prayed more earnestly. And it says, can you imagine that? What's happening as he's being crushed? This pressure. Have you ever had the pressures of life? Of course you have. The pressures of problems. The pressures of sin, just pressing in. And so he was in agony, and it says that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. It's like this pressing upon him, and he's sweating blood. He was being pressed and crushed beyond measure. You know, there's a medical term for this, right? It's a very rare thing. It's called hematidrosis. It's extremely rare, and it happens when a person is in such distress, such agony, where death is imminent, or they're gonna be in such torture, such pain, that the body breaks down. And that's what we see here. Matthew 26:38 tells us that at this time, Jesus told the three, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. However, we know they fell asleep. They were snoozing. Well, this is the third and final time Jesus goes to his disciple. Look at verse 45 with me. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. One last time, rise. You have a battle coming. You're going to fall victim to this. But while Jesus had been praying, Judas had been busy gathering a detachment of Roman troops, as well as officers from the chief priests. Verse 47, and while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. Wow. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? And what do we see here? We see the men of war coming for the Prince of Peace, led by Judas. He knew where to look. He knew where Jesus would be. Jesus was not trying to hide, though, or flee. He would meet this hour head on. He knew. He said, my hour has not come. My hour has not come. My hour has not come. The hour had now come. But he was betrayed by this man. The Bible says he loved him all the way to the end. He loved this man. And Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. This thing about betrayal, it's a violation of trust. And it's hurtful. If there was no trust, it wouldn't be hurtful because that's what you expected. Oh, I might still bother and so forth. But betrayal is a violation of this incredible trust that you have with an individual, that you love them. And you're like, this person would never do this to me. They'll be at my side. So it's painful, and Jesus knows what that's like. To the uttermost. Verse 49, then those around him saw that what was going to happen. So they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? That's like us, right? We want to always do the work of the Spirit in the flesh. You're like, hey, let's do this. Let's go to my own resources. And one of them, Peter, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed them. The other gospel tells us that he told Peter, listen, Peter, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. But Peter didn't pray, and the others didn't pray. And so the response was in the flesh. They entered into temptation. It is so much easier to respond in the flesh than it is in the spirit, is it not? I find that it is. So it is a battle. I was the other day, I was driving Amsinger Road. I was coming back around the turns, and I was talking to my daughter on the phone. And, you know, we're just talking about the Word of God and just telling her, you know, we just about patience, you know. We need to be gracious and patient. And I look in the mirror, and there's a guy behind me giving me the one-finger salute. I mean, I'm just driving, and he just gets close to me, and then his buddy decided to join in on the other side. Now, my instant reaction was, I want to break check this person. I confess, guys. That's what I wanted to do. That was my flesh. It would have been so much easier to respond to my flesh. And the way that I responded really was really where my heart was. I didn't brake check, but I quickly pulled off to the right, fairly quickly. So it was like a mix of, I'm sort of brake checking you, but I'm not. I'm moving out of the way. This is why I'm telling my daughter, listen, we got to be patient. And listen, I stopped and I said, Lord, forgive me. This was my check. This is a check on my heart. I want to respond in the flesh when we want to respond in the spirit. Yeah, you know that FJ that has the Calvary Chapel sticker? You know what they did? They break checked me. Oh, that's the pastor there. Oh. Wow. Lord, help me. Help us. We need to bring those things before the Lord, because God would check us. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, did you not try to seize me? But this is your hour." Notice, this is your hour and the power of darkness. So he says, look, you're coming to me as if I'm a criminal here. You got this. He has enough men there to take down a rebellion. This is how you're coming to me? Like against a robber? Why didn't you come to me at the temple? Why? Because Satan, evil, sin, everything comes in the dark. You don't do it in the open. Satan was working. He wanted to take... He sends... Judas betrays him for 30 pieces of silver. Breaks his heart, although he knew. His disciples fall asleep on him. Don't pray. And then they're scattered. And Peter is going to deny him 3 times. And then they're going to lock eyes. That's a bad night. That is a bad night. But Jesus prayed. He prayed. And he prayed for us. He did everything for you and for me. He was crushed. The battle was won there in the garden. There his mind was settled in the fact that I'm going to do the Father's will. And God will meet us in that place and prepare us and says yes. And so he says, this is your hour, the power of darkness. But he was in control the whole time. It wasn't determined by them, it was determined by him. And we're going to leave it there tonight, this morning, I should say. Next week, we're going to see Jesus at the home of the high priest. But in reality, that was just a puppet priest. The true high priest was there. And we're going to see Jesus' prophecy about Peter's denial coming to pass. Another awesome portion of scripture. I love that. But I just want to say, if you're here today and you haven't given your life to the Lord, and you want to, You want to be saved. You want to know this Jesus that died for you, that was crushed for you, that sweat drops of blood for you, a real relationship, not just, oh yeah, I've heard a sermon. Oh, a real relationship with him. You can do that. The Bible says that simple steps. You realize that you're a sinner. You recognize that Jesus died for your sins. You repent of your sins and you receive him as your Lord and Savior. Easy steps. And as the worship team comes up, there will be some men and women up front and I'm back that would be happy to pray for you if you don't know Jesus and you want to know him. The Bible says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I love verse 11. It says, for the scriptures say, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Isn't that amazing? Follow Jesus. We're to follow Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you as we see all this unfolding. We see that in the garden, we lost the fight, but you didn't. Our parents, our first parents lost the fight, but you won it. I'm so grateful, Lord. We cannot imagine the turmoil, the agony, the sorrow, the pain that you went through in that garden. You were sweating blood, literally blood, great drops of blood falling to the ground. The place of crushing, you were crushed. Lord, maybe there's some in here today that they feel like they're being crushed. But Lord, you're so good. You are so good. That, Lord, in those times in our lives where we're going through these difficult times, just like the olives produced oil of gladness, Lord, there are times in our lives that the crushing just produces something special in us, that you grow us and you bless us. When we come out on the other side, it is just an amazing thing, because nothing goes through the believer's life without going first through your hands and you allowing it. And you are good, and you love us. So I pray if there's some here that need prayer, they just need to be washed by your word, Lord. I pray that they would just step up and just receive prayer. That's what we're called to. You tell us to pray over and over and over again. You invite us into your throne room, to the throne of grace in our time of need. So we thank you. We praise you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.